Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then 36 through 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Now the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Skipping over to verse 36. He then left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will come and send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, and he who has ears, let him hear." God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This parable gets down to brass tacks, doesn't it? Weeds and wheat. But to keep it in context, let's talk a little bit about the parable of the sower, which what preceded this. The parable of the sower describes the generous way that God spreads the seed of the gospel into human hearts. And it tells about how different people receive the good news. If you remember that, it was spread near the walkway, and some trampled it, and some of it fell in bad soil, some of it fell in good soil. Jesus is telling these parables at this time because by now he's done a fair amount of preaching. He's seen how people have received the gospel message, and too many have made a shallow commitment after hearing the gospel. So he began with this parable of the sower because he wanted to caution people not to make a shallow commitment. And then he followed that lesson about shallow commitment with today's lesson, the wheat and the tares. He said the parable of the wheat and the tares teaches a much different lesson. Here the focus is no longer upon the soil and how it receives the seed of the gospel, but upon the growing plants. The farmer sowed good seed into good soil and it grew, but while he was sleeping, his enemy came and spread the seeds of a very nasty weed in the farmer's wheat field. The tares described in Jesus' parable are called bearded darnel. And they look exactly like wheat when they're growing, and they cannot be easily told apart until the seed head is ripe and ready for harvest. Now, if that isn't bad enough, the seeds of the bearded darnel are poisonous. So when the farmer's workers begin to realize that a poisonous weed is growing with the wheat, they come to the Father wanting to pull them up as soon as possible. But the farmer must say no, because wheat and darnel look almost identical until they're ready for harvest. So the farmer says, let them grow together until harvest time. Then I will have the reapers gather up the darnel first and tie it into bundles, burn it, and the wheat will be gathered and be put into the barn. Again, we want to step back from this parable. Jesus is standing in a boat near the shore. He has gathered a crowd lining the water's edge. His first parable tells them to be good soil to receive the word of God, let it take hold and become fruitful in their lives. Then he follows with this parable, which warns that if they do make a commitment to the gospel and seek to grow in grace, they will have to do it in the presence of others who have a completely opposite nature. They have to grow up in a poisonous environment. His parable says that good, faithful Christians will have to live and grow in grace despite the presence of poisonous people who look like Christians, talk like Christians, but whose fruit will prove to be poison. Sure makes you want to go join the church right away, doesn't it? Our latest books on church growth don't talk about this very much, growing up with the weeds. You don't talk to prospective converts about how difficult it's going to be a Christian. Now, you want to paint a little rosier picture than that. But there is a genius in what Jesus is teaching here. The people in front of him aren't fools. Perhaps one of the reasons they've come to him is to make sense of the fact that there are bad people in our world. Roman rulers were harsh. Their taxes were heavy. They were being ripped off by crooked tax collectors, thieves, and murderers. Bad people seemed to do well while the rest were oppressed. You have people like the Pharisees, the religious rulers who were oppressing the people for their own ends. You know how it is. You work hard, you try to give a good life to your family. It's a struggle, isn't it? And then you hear of this crook who steals millions by scamming the elderly, who ripping off insurance companies, real estate scams, shady stock deals. Those who ruins the lives of many, many families for their own wealth. And then they run away from prosecution somewhere in a country that doesn't have extradition. You wonder sometimes, is there no justice in the world? But this parable answers that question, doesn't it? Yes, there's going to be a day of reckoning. The tares are going to be burned. Jesus explained the parable to his disciples. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The wheat are faithful, committed people who love God, and the darnel are the children of the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters will be angels who will gather out of God's kingdom all of those who are stumbling blocks, all of those who commit lawlessness. They will be cast into a fiery furnace. Sounds rather primitive, but this is Jesus talking. The righteous at that time will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So the end result is that justice will be served. The evil will be punished, but the good will be rewarded. Yet till the last day, we have to contend with the darnel in God's field. Often God's worst enemies are God's friends. Some time ago, Bill McNabb did an editorial in The Door. He elaborated on this idea. He said, I had an old seminary professor who began and ended his apologetics lecture with one sentence. You defend God like you defend a lion. You get out of his way. God, it seems, has never had much trouble with his enemies. It's his friends who give him fits. Karl Rahner said it this way, the number one cause of atheism is Christians. Those who proclaim God with their mouths and deny him with their lifestyles, that's what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable about Christianity. Perhaps the best defense of God will be to just keep our mouths shut and live like Jesus taught us to do. The gospel would then have such power and attraction, we wouldn't have to worry about defending it, would we? So what do we take home from this lesson? First, listen to the words of the landowner. It's not harvest time yet. Let them grow. Let them grow together. Of course, one part of this parable that's not there is that we who follow Jesus also follow the Great Commission to go tell the good news of the gospel here and abroad. The assurance of this parable is that we will not be tainted by the darnel that's growing around us. And at the time of the harvest, it's all going to be sorted out. This is probably a good reminder also that we are not the judges of our neighbors. We simply don't have the ability to discern the good from the bad, at least not in one another. Jesus said, however, that you'll know them by their fruits. That's a clue. I cannot say for sure, but this I know, the world is usually not black or white, good or evil. Good people get caught up in evil schemes. Evil people are often used by God to achieve good. This parable reminds us that God, our sovereign God, acts according only to God's will, not according to ours. The parable is teaching that you and I are meant to grow alongside the weeds. Those who appear to be less different from, yes, other than what we believe God intends, they can't hurt us. The weeds can't hurt us. More than that, taking them away too soon may even harm us. And isn't this a vitally important word for us today? When the whole world seems to be caught up in this culture war, I got to confess, I'm part of it. I saw something yesterday and I had to pass it on that I thought it was ridiculous, that the cancel culture has canceled Robert E. Lee's horse. They've taken the plaque from behind his chapel, which is no longer called Lee Chapel, by the way. They've taken that name away. But Robert E. Lee's horse has been canceled. They took the plaque away, and who knows, they may dig up the bones and put them away somewhere. I don't know. It's gotten a little ridiculous from my perspective. It's hard for us to get people from different leanings on the political spectrum to hold a civil conversation anymore, hasn't it? And very often we have judged the other as evil. What would it look like if both sides of any question were to heed the vision that Jesus offers of just growing alongside of one another, being tolerant and not being threatened by the presence of another idea, leaving it all the judgment in God's hands. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer, please. Almighty God, wheat or tare, we all pray to be the wheat. Keep us growing, keep us fruiting on behalf of your kingdom. And indeed, help us to tell and to live the good news that if Jesus is looking for those who are bearing good fruit, that we might be in that category indeed. We pray this all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.